We're going to do a little follow-up fun to a story that we talked about, I don't know, it was probably a month ago that we talked about things that we were looking forward to in 2021, and one of them was the trial of
Max
Gieslin Maxwell.
Helene
Maxwell. And as everyone knows, she is the, how do I say
heiress
properly? She was the pimp for Jeffrey Epstein, and going to find young teenage girls to take care of him and a group of friends. And so now it's starting to come out this week. What does the evidence look like? What is it that she has? And Len, you were just saying there were some motions that were filed this week in court, but needless to say, I think the biggest story out of that was that she's got video, and that video includes ex-presidents Trump and Clinton. I'm sure that there's video of Prince Philip. That, you know, it seems to be, you know, a pretty big leverage piece that she's got, which, again, not shocking that she has come out with this, because she's facing years and years and years in prison, life in prison.
At least 40 years.
This story's just, this is going to be like OJ. Yeah, I'm just going to keep watching and following this.
It's, you know, perfect for prime time, this type of trial, if it ever goes to trial. I don't know if it ever will.
Nope.
You say no. I kind of think it might go to trial.
Nope.
First of all, so, you know, we all know that she was part of a deal in Florida where Epstein was at one point being charged. But then they didn't really charge him. And then he ended up doing a deal where he got like 3 weeks of probation or something stupid, outrageous. And then they promised never to go after him again. Well, so the first motion that I read, and I think they filed it in January. I just happened to read it this week. The first motion was she is basically pardoned because she was part of that deal. Now, she never was charged, nor was she actually entered into the deal where she had to sign the deal. But her lawyers are strongly arguing that this case should never even go forward, that she should be immediately released because her ex-husband, boyfriend, pimp, whatever you want to call it, had entered into a plea deal which included her. So, you know, you take that from a legal perspective, and I would say that is a stretch of emotion.
Right.
But
if she was never charged, there's nothing for her to argue against.
You can't, I mean, it just amazes me when I looked at that plea deal that he entered in Florida. I've never seen, in 25 years of practicing criminal law, I've never seen anything like that where, you know, hey, Paul Gaudet, you're being charged with something, but if you just do a few months of probation, we promise not to charge Lenny.
Well, and hey, victims were never notified.
Yes.
Victims were never notified. Obviously, it was incredibly lenient based on the charges. The whole thing was a joke.
It was a joke. And so now they're claiming, of course, that she should be released because of that. That was one of the motions, but that wasn't the most outrageous motion that I read.
All right.
The other motion was, so what happened in her case, there's several ways you can be charged with a crime. The first way is if a cop sees you doing it, or somebody sees you and then they catch you immediately right after, they arrest you. They can hold you for usually 72 hours, some states 48 hours, before they charge you until they finish their investigation. And then they either got to bring you in front of a court and say, we're going to charge you with this crime or release you. So that's normally how most basic crimes are charged. The second way is they start an investigation, and eventually they get enough evidence where they go to a court and they ask the court to issue an arrest warrant. They do that in felonies. It's like someone says, hey, this guy stole something, but they didn't really see it. And then they investigate, they pull video, they pull all this other stuff. And they said, now we have enough evidence. They go to a district attorney or a U.S. attorney, say, here's our evidence. Let's charge this guy. So they go to court and they say, we want an arrest warrant. And then they go pick you up. The other way, which is not real common in Colorado, I mean, they do it, is a grand jury indictment. Attorneys, DAs, U.S. attorneys, they love grand jury indictments because they have to show probable cause to a jury already. Mm-hmm. So they're already presenting their case. So it's a practice trial for them. But they have subpoena power where they can subpoena people. And nobody really has to know what's going on. So there's a jury of how many people, whatever the jurisdiction allows. In Colorado, they can bring anybody in from the state. So somebody from one person from Pueblo, and they sit for a grand jury. So you may be on a grand jury, and I have never met anybody on a grand jury. That would be so interesting to talk to. But you can sit in a grand jury for a long time, and they can present different cases. And then you say, yes, you know, as a grand jury, you should indict this person, or no, there's not enough evidence there. Witnesses can testify, and they can call different witnesses. In this case, they did a grand jury indictment, which means they went in front of a grand jury
against Jeffrey Epstein
and her.
Okay,
and Gishal, or whatever her name is.
Gisla is...
So on the other side of the pond, they say Helene.
Okay, we're on this side of the pond.
So we say Gisalane, or whatever the hell you and Leonard butchered it by. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, the motion that was filed by her legal team is that the grand jury indictment needed to be tossed, not because of the evidence or anything other than the fact that there were not enough Black or Latinos on the grand jury. Think about that. Maxwell's attorneys are arguing that there was not enough culture on diversity on the grand jury.
Like that would change.
Right.
I'm guessing, I didn't see the full motion, but the argument would be, I guess, that minority people might tend to be a little bit more liberal. I don't know. I mean... But just
that's not a liberal opinion. Yeah, that's not. No. There's nothing liberal or conservative about this case. You lured teenaged women to a man's house for him to take advantage of. That is not a liberal or conservative conversation.
I agree with you, but you're using the race card when you're not even part of that race. I think it's like the most outrageous motion I've ever seen, like from somebody with that color. I mean, come on.
Somebody of that color. You mean white?
Yeah. I mean, there's not enough Latinos in there for me to have a fair grand jury. First of all, grand juries are just, you know, kind of like a hidden grand jury. They don't care if they don't even know if you're Black or white or whatever. They're just there to give their opinion. So it's just one of the emotions. But the funny thing is, all this is going to be played out on TV. And you know, right now, there's some nervous old politicians sitting at home right now going, I thought we killed him.
Well, I was going to say, like, there's a whole theory about him dying, that if he actually did die or if he was killed by all these powerful people. So how do you think they actually feel about seeing, like, the queen? How does she feel that there's, like, video and stuff?
She and I, one, there is no theory. Well, they killed him.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, one way or another, they killed him.
Who's they?
Well, the odds are
they are
powerful. Yeah, you sound like who is involved now.
No, but like, they are the people that were involved in Epstein's island that are rich and powerful. I don't know which one of them it is, but right now you have video out there claiming, allegedly, that ex-President Bill Clinton, ex-President Trump, and I think Prince Andrew, they have video of them with these young women on the island. And that's what she has, right? In her briefcase that she's claiming right now. That in and of itself, there's conference calls happening, dude. There are conference calls happening going, somebody better figure out where this video is. And somebody, and who's having those conference calls? People that are an arm's length from President Clinton, President Trump, Prince Andrew, and whoever else. I mean, there's huge money involved here. There's huge money, people, egos, you know, that are involved in this whole case. This is just the tip of the iceberg as to where this thing could go. But I haven't believed, and I still don't believe that she'll ever go on trial.
Why? Do you think she won't make it because she'll be killed? Or do you think she'll plea it out? Because, I mean, the prosecutors cannot enter a plea in this case that does anything less than the rest of her life in prison. So what is her motivation to plea? When I do sex assault cases, they're tough cases because a lot of them are all or nothing. So, you know, if I have a theft case, I have one right now where they're saying, look, if he just pleads guilty, we'll give him, you know, so many days in home detention and probation. If he loses that trial, he gets probably 2 years. So, I mean, he may say, let's take a risk, blah, blah, blah. But in sex assault cases, I have one right now where they're saying the offer is 15 years, 15 to 30. We'll agree that the minimum would be 15 or the what? I mean, so people are more likely, let's take it to trial because I have, I mean, 15 years, I'm going to be dead. So let's take it to trial. So it's not like they would go to her and say, we'll let you out on probation if you plead. There's just no way they would get killed in the press and the media and everything else if they offer anything but life. So for her, the motivation to plead guilty, there is none.
You got to wonder, and I don't, Len, this is your area of expertise, not mine, but she's not the big fish. So do you leverage her knowledge and what
the big fish is dead?
The other big fish is ex-President Clinton. ex-President Trump, Prince Andrew, these guys.
That's assuming that the prosecutor wants to get to those fish.
I understand that. And that's, but that's what I'm saying. Right. If the prosecutor, if the Department of Justice decides that's where we want to go, then I think that it changes the whole story of what she may get or what she may not get.
Well, again, I don't see anything but a jury trial on this, or they find her dead. Those are the two options.
I don't disagree with that.
Because I don't think the offer for her, somebody like her, is like, look, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison, or I take this to trial and I'm bringing everybody down if that happens. That's the route I see in this case. Again, unless they find her, you know, accidentally hung like they did her ex.
He stabbed himself
55 times in the back. What do you guys think the odds are that the tapes exist? You guys are betting men, I believe.
I do.
70-30, what do you think?
Oh, I think they exist.
Look,
I don't think she could have talked about the tapes without the tapes existing.
If they do exist, what do you think the odds are that they actually will be uncovered one day, that they are
uncovered as part of her trial?
I think they're gone, dude. I think those things have been buried in cement on his island. I mean, she doesn't, Andre, but she didn't say she has access to them. She knows they exist.
She doesn't bring them up because she doesn't know where they are. She brings them up because she knows that it's possible leverage in a conversation.
If you read about her parents' history, her dad's history, and that he comes from media, she comes from a family in media. These people that were doing this, Epstein and her, they're not dumb in regards to they're keeping these tapes somewhere safe. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, the old gangster movies where they say, you know, if I end up dead, there's a lockbox, you know, that somebody's going to turn. So I guarantee you she knows where they're at and is just right now trying to see what type of deal they're going to offer for them.
I mean, the other thing that, you know, that could happen is that all of a sudden one of them mysteriously gets released, you know, during the course of this trial. And just for her to be able to prove, I you know, I've got this stuff, and then all of a sudden the prosecutors are going to go crazy.
Who would, out of everybody, you think she may have tapes on? And by the way, the other day I was reading that something about Oprah Winfrey and Epstein or something.
Yeah, but I think that was falsified.
She just traveled to the island, but
no, there was
Bill Gates also did too. A lot of people did.
There were two of these roster lists that were released. Mm-hmm. And since then it's gone on to say there's been stuff out on, so these lists are not true. But Tom Hanks is on there.
Well, I could see, like, you know,
Oprah's on there. I mean, there's a lot of people.
I could see kind of being negligent in a way that before Epstein's name came out, you know, and you're like, hey, you know, all these stars are going to this big party in the private islands, directors and so forth. We should go and not really investigate. Oh, Clinton will be there and these people will be there. And you're there and now you're on this list. But you may not have played any part in what...
You may not have, but look, at the end of the day, everybody knew who Jeffrey Epstein was.
You think?
Yes.
You think it would be gross negligence? I don't think
that these guys run around in these circles and not understand who that person is. And it's not like what Epstein was doing nobody knew about. I mean, I don't know. I would have a hard time with people that go, oh, well, I didn't know that he was doing that. Really? You didn't notice on this island a bunch of teenage girls running around? You didn't think that was odd? The rich protect the rich, and you know what? They don't want to, oh, I went there and we just played tennis. Yeah, okay.
I love the interview with the groundskeeper on the island.
That was great.
It was great because he was like, you know, I recognize people. And then they were like, well, did you recognize? Like, yeah, I recognized Bill Clinton, but he didn't have any, he wasn't with any girls
right,
on there.
Right.
And then they said, what about this person? And the one he really threw under the bus was Prince Andrews.
Yeah.
Like he was like, oh.
Well, dude, he's caught. There's so much evidence on him right now. Dirty. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So that list that you mentioned, Paul, that came from the pilot of the Lolita Express, the plane, Larry Visosky, who is still cooperating with prosecutors. So there might be two or three
of those lists that came out on, and this was about 4 or 5 months ago, because my kids and I were talking
September,
about it.
September, yeah.
Yeah. And one of them or two of them were deemed this one, a couple of these are being made up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know which one it is. I have no idea, but it was just, this is one of those things where social media is going to take control, and all of a sudden somebody puts out a list and it becomes the Bible. And so it'll be interesting, though, when this pilot, because he'll have to testify.
Oh, yeah.
During the trial. I'd love to sit down when the pilot testifies. I'll be watching that day.
Yeah, and
because the only question I would have for him is, what time did the plane take off? What time did it land? And who were the passengers on the plane?
Who was on there?
I mean, that's it.
I mean, why else would you go to Epstein's Island?
Golf, tennis.
I mean,
margaritas.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I could see somebody having some negligence in regards to going there. I mean, if that's the scene and you don't know what's going on, I'm talking like, you know, the early 90s or something, and you get invited to an island, you may not say no. And you see a guest list that includes Oprah Winfrey, Tom Hanks, Bill Clinton, you know, Donald Trump. I mean, you may go and not know what's really going on.
If you were going somewhere.
Well, if you saw those two last names.
If you saw those last two names on it, you wouldn't go, I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling that freaky. Wait,
would we let Adriana go onto an island?
No.
Where we have the guest list? Yeah.
I wouldn't let Bill Clinton ride in an elevator with Adriana, let alone go to an island. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Out of everybody, and I'm literally talking about two people, but just say everybody, who do you think would be the biggest name drop out of those two? Which one would be the biggest impact on them and be the biggest impact on us?
Between Trump and Clinton?
Yeah. If the video exists.
I think it's known that both of them.
You don't think one?
I don't know that, like, if all of a sudden it hit the stands that Bill Clinton, you know, was on the island with teenage girls and Donald Trump was getting golden showers, I don't think that there's anyone who wouldn't go shocked.
I disagree. I think it would be a bigger hit if it's Clinton, because I truly believe, and they used to call him Smooth Willie or whatever.
Yeah. Slick Willie.
Slick Willie.
Slick Willie.
I truly believe there's a huge group out there that thinks that he may have had, you know, affairs, but he's not. Whereas
He may have had affairs.
No, I'm saying most.
Might have had an affair.
What I'm saying is I think it would be a bigger impact if there was a video on it. To me, Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels, we already know that's out there. We already know. I mean, we know Bill Clinton was that.
But why? I don't know. I'm trying to follow along with your rationale. Dude, they are both gutter pigs. I mean, and Bill Clinton.
But there's a difference between.
No, there's not. Dude, you know what he's accused of. We all know what he's been accused of.
I know.
We all know what he's been involved in. To the same degree that President Trump.
Don't you think in the general public, I'm talking the U.S.
You think that Bill Clinton has a better reputation than Trump does, so Clinton would take a bigger hit?
I think they're both got bad reputations when it comes to women. I think it would be a bigger hit if the video was of Clinton than it would be of Trump. Because I think...
I wouldn't be shocked.
I think people assume that even he's a Trump's, better
person.
Even
why?
Even Trump... Because you look, you have
why? That's a good
question. Why would anyone think Bill Clinton's a better person than Donald Trump?
Because you've never really had Bill Clinton on tape doing something else.
Aji's here right now, so I'm being nice. But what are you fucking talking about?
I'm talking about.
He is a human pig who was doing things in the White House that he got impeached for.
He put a cigar.
He lied to the American people.
But you had Donald Trump saying, I grab girls by the pee.
I get it.
On tape. You have that on tape. Everything else is, you know, he said, she said mostly. Even Stormy Daniels is he said, she said mostly. You have at least one tape, and that one tape has Donald Trump saying, I grab girls by the vagina because I'm rich and powerful.
I'm going to answer
You've
this question
You've never had
again.
Donald or I Bill Clinton think, on I tape.
Doesn't matter. I don't need to have Bill Clinton on tape.
Well,
to
you
know
don't
that,
because you've been a
no,
Bill
but
hater
the American
before he even.
That's not true.
When that he is. Was, Governor of Arkansas, you hated
You also it. Have Trump talking about his daughter in like weird ways when she was
Trump
a kid.
Is a freak. Bill Clinton
but
is
I think
a
they're
freak.
Saying,
that's what I'm saying.
I think he's saying that because of some of those comments that Trump has that's like, oh, wow,
the difference.
Not
but think about the difference. And this is what you're not allowing yourself to do. So take Bill Clinton back in 98, 90.
He ran in 92 and won.
Okay.
So his re-election was in 96.
What was social media in 92 and 96? And what would social media have done to Bill Clinton
You're arguing my argument right there. You're saying because we have social media, because we have tape.
We have non-surprising information.
I'm actually not arguing. What I'm arguing is that Bill Clinton is probably. Yeah. Well, he's probably a bigger pig. And he's probably done stupider things.
That's why he's saying that because it would be more of a surprise because there wasn't that social media.
Yeah,
that
but what I'm saying is it's not a surprise. The guy's a pig. Go read up on him.
But no, we know. But
once you see the tape,
I won't be shocked.
You have more evidence now.
Who would you be more outraged by, though? I think, would it be Clinton or would it be Trump?
I mean, I have been outraged by Clinton for 10 years. But hold on a second.
Since he was a governor of Arkansas.
No, that's not true. Look, as a president. Sitting
Since
president,
he was a student at Oxford. economy, be as honest, a, when he was born, you said that guy right there. I'm just kidding.
As a sitting president, he did a good job for the American people. The economy was good. He did stupid things at the end because he was afraid of what was going to come out, and so I get all that. I have no issue with that. As a human being, he's a pig. And he's been a pig, and it's been documented that he's a pig. So am I going to be more shocked if I see Donald Trump?
I'm not talking about you.
I understand.
I'm not talking
about
me. All
I can answer is me.
I'm talking about...
I don't think the American people are going to be more shocked one way or another between those two people.
I disagree, because I think there's more people that believe... And I don't agree with them. I'm not saying I agree with them. I think there's more people in the... If you took a poll today of American people, they believe that Clinton is more innocent, and I'm not saying they're right, than Trump is. Maybe because it's current, because Trump is current. Maybe it's because social media.
It makes sense.
I believe if you took a poll of the American people right now, they would believe Donald Trump is more of a scumbag to be involved with Epstein. I think that's my argument, is I think it would be a bigger hit to America, not to me or you or anybody sitting on this podcast right now. I'm saying to the American people, I think it would be a bigger hit if it's Bill Clinton, because I think there's more Bill Clinton believers of his innocence there than there are of Donald Trump.
That's a good point.
That's my argument.
That's fair. That's a good argument.
Those people are not very smart, but yeah, that's fair.
So other things in the news this week that, Paul, you had a gripe about was the fact that the congressional priorities were a little bit shifted when they tried to make an issue of the fact that Trump would be eventually buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And so they decided to take a day or two, or too much time, in my opinion. But, I mean, they
took
time.
First of all, it wasn't a day. When Paul brought it up, it wasn't a day or two. It's 13 congressmen that sponsor a bill. You know how many bills are sponsored in
a lot,
anywhere?
A ton.
Thousands. It was 13 representatives that sponsored a bill that went nowhere.
Really, though? Don't you think it's kind of trivial? I mean, at this point?
Well, I mean, trivial.
Who
bills
cares
get,
where he
get
gets buried?
All the time. That's part of Congress. I mean, it's a waste of time and money if it goes past anything past committee. But they've got, I mean, committees, they go through bills before it even hits
the floor,
and they get rid of them and do things with them. The congresswoman from Sanchez, again, one of Ramona's friends, Linda Sanchez, she sponsored a bill and she wrote the bill and she got 13 out of her congresspeople to approve of it. 13 out of 400 and something.
Right.
So that tells you that's going nowhere, and it's really like a little bump in a road. It didn't take any time from anything else. I guarantee it.
Do you agree with it?
I don't agree with it, because I think Paul uses this line all the time, slippery slope. I think once you start passing legislation just targeting one person, but what they did is they didn't put Trump's name even in it. What they said, any president that's been impeached twice.
Oh, well, yeah. They didn't put his
right,
name.
Right. But they refused to put his name in it. So what you're doing is, all of a sudden,
leaving it open-ended.
But what you're doing is, in future, I mean, you know, 10, 20 years from now, you may have somebody who's not popular by one side or the other, and they purposely try to impeach that person twice, so then they would fall under this rule. Mm. I think it would be a stupid, stupid law to pass. If it went and caused some time, I would agree with Paul that it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of effort, and it's a waste of even doing anything. you're talking about 13 people out of 400 that come up with, I can guarantee you there's a lot more stupid ideas that went through Congress in the last 10 days that didn't make
it anymore. Lauren Boebert's been busy. So, yeah, more stupid things have been going on.
So,
yes.
I mean, yeah, it's a stupid idea. It's a stupid bill. And, you know, I don't think it's going anywhere, and I don't think it's going to interrupt what's happening or not happening right now. I mean, right now they should be concentrating on COVID, and they should be concentrating on what's happening in Texas, and they and get going on, you know, getting the cabinet finalized, because, you know, you got to have the cabinet going.
So, I mean, you know, Lenny, I agree. And yeah, I did not obviously understand how many people or the gist of what it was that was being proposed. I guess my message is, and my message will continue to be, is now that there is control, I just want an agenda gone through. I want to see every week that I read the headlines coming out of our House or Senate, it needs to be progress to move forward. And whether that is the stimulus, whether that is Corona, whether that is economy pushes, I don't want to read any more about we're doing this to him or we're going to try and figure this. They have to move forward.
Right.
If they truly want an impact on what it was. And you and I talked about this 6-8 months ago. And I said then, Democrats can't stand for, I just don't like him. I just don't like Trump. Okay. Now you have it. So let's just move forward. So I that's what I'm hoping that we see out of the House and out of the Senate as we continue to move forward in Biden's first 100 days. But let's see some real substantial things being put through and change. And by the way, as I've said, I don't agree with everything that Biden does. You and I have argued about that. I guess as a citizen, at least we're arguing about something that has to do with policy. At least we're arguing with something that has to do with the American people versus some of the other crap that we were arguing about for the last 3 and 4 years. So from that standpoint, I'll take it. I have no issue with that.
I agree with you, Paul. I agree.
I'd rather go back to arguing policy.
With one exception, Nancy Pelosi, and I hate her, but I have to say she did a good thing. They want to launch a commission to investigate the White Riot 2021, in other words, the insurrection that Trump caused. I think that's a valuable use of their time. I do. It's a commission, so it's not.
Well, it's not going to be a ton of their time because it's
exactly.
They hired somebody that used to be like a former national security advisor under Bush. And
what's the end game?
The end game is if Lauren Boebert was texting from the galley like, hey, oh, hey, Nancy just happened to leave. And, oh, by the way, I gave people a tour the day before the insurrection. There are people who should be held accountable. I don't care if it's a congresswoman, a congressman, a police officer who's just said, oh, hey, there's my buddy. Yeah, go on through. There are certain people who should be held accountable. And therefore,
is it politically motivated?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's politically motivated, but it's still has just cause. It has just cause.
Everything's politically motivated, yes. I think this the commission should happen. I don't think Congress should spend a ton of time on it. Of course, they'll want to interview the people that did the thing. It's just like anything else that happens in Washington. You put together to find out the right answers. Yeah. You put a nonpartisan commission together, just like they did in anything else, you know, like 9/11 or
Pearl Harbor,
or anything.
Challenger disaster.
The Warren Commission. I don't think it goes to those levels, but you got to find out why the police weren't more prepared. You got to find out, you know, to make sure it doesn't happen, or at least to put on record of why you think it happened. You get to interview some of the people that were there that participated in it that might be being charged right now. To fix it so it doesn't happen again, you got to find out what was the cause of it, including where the Capitol Police might have missed it and didn't have it better stocked, or why the National Guard wasn't there. I mean, it's good for them to know so it wouldn't happen again. I think we know what happened, you know, from the outside. We kind of know where the screw-ups were, but I think it's not a bad thing for it to happen.
What do you guys think of the break now that it's taking place between the GOP, because Mitch McConnell coming out and saying what he did, and now Trump responding just yesterday, basically coming out and saying, oh, that turtle is this and that. What do you guys think of the GOP split, and how is it going to all play out? What do you guys think?
I think the GOP is incredibly fractured, and they're going to have to figure out new leadership and how it is they're going to move forward. And, you know, the fact that the voice of Trump is not going to go away, and it's going to be there for another 6 years. I mean, his voice and his And people going down to visit him and people trying to make it gradually over time will diminish. But the problem that I have with the GOP problem I have with a lot of politicians is, McConnell says he was wrong. Okay, he was wrong, and you finally split with him. By the way, for 4 years, you didn't say one word about him.
Great point.
Lindsey Graham, comes out and says, oh, my God, I can't believe it. He's bad. We're done with him. You didn't do anything to try and stop him for 4 years while he was in office. You have Jeff Flake, who decides to, have a speech on the floor and say, okay, this whole party's going to hell. By the way, I resign. So, the Republicans have as much work to do on rebuilding the party as I think the Democrats had to do, a few years ago. And there's extreme fracture right now within the Republican Party. And the midterms are going to be really interesting because I personally don't see the Republicans winning anything at the midterms right now. I just don't see them winning because you're going to have two different types of Republicans, right? You're going to have the ones that are
the Trumpsters,
right? You're going to have the Trumpsters speaking to the base, and then you're going to have ones that come out and say, I'm not about, the Trump side of the party. I'm just about being a Republican, and I believe in, no or pushing back regulation and less government and lower taxes and, the foundation of what was the Republican Party. And it's going to take time, to rebuild that back in. So, you really look at the Democrats and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I worry about our political system and our leaders overall over the next 10 years because we don't have... We have extremism in this country right now. Mm. We have extremism. And if we don't come up with really good leaders sensible leaders that are able to put together some sort of a guiding voice, we're going to have big issues. We really are.
A couple things. The one thing I think Paul's been right on is he keeps saying Trump's not going away. And Paul's been right on that. Unfortunately, I think like some of the bills that we talked about just a few minutes ago aren't helping that as well.
Mm.
The one thing I was right on is I was like, him not being convicted on the impeachment hurts the Republicans more than the Democrats because now he feels a sense of empowerment, and he's definitely not going to go away. I think Mitch McConnell was hoping that there would be enough Republican support in the Senate to say, let's convict him. When McConnell knew, and he knew he had this pulse on it, that there wasn't going to be enough, then he wasn't going to vote for it. But I think if he has a heart.
Yeah, but Leonard, your point is dead on. But if you're Mitch McConnell, you're the most powerful Republican senator there is.
He doesn't have that much compared to Trump.
Okay, but at some point, then that is a bigger problem in and of itself.
Yes, and to follow that up with the Democrats are also, as you were mentioning, they're also kind of split. Yeah. They were. When they lost the House, the Senate, and the presidency in 2016, they were looking at themselves in the mirror. The one thing, and I know everybody hates her, and I've been saying this, I remember when she got elected to be the House Speaker, and me and you had this conversation, Paul, you said, why do they keep going back to her? I said, because she's the only one with the, hate to say it, with the balls to say no to AOC, to say no to Bernie Sanders, to say this is the leadership we're going to have in these committees. These are the people we want in charge. She was able to stand. And so McConnell can't do that right now. He's the face of the Republicans outside of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the strength enough to say no to these Trumpsters that are within that. The Cruz, the Hollies, those people that are still there. The guy that's in the House, the minority leader in the House. He doesn't have enough strength McCarthy. To fight those guys. So he's got to kind of weigh those. Where I think Pelosi, I mean, you're seeing in the cabinet, they're not putting Warren and they're not putting the Bernie Sanders in the cabinet. They're kind of staying to the moderate, his cabinet. Biden is. He is. Look at his cabinet. For the most part, it's more in the middle than it is to the left. You're seeing people like the AOCs and them be frustrated with Biden and frustrated with AOC. With Nancy Pelosi, they try to remove her from the head of their party because they don't like what she's kind of keeping them in check with what committee assignments and so forth that she gives them. Whereas on the other side, the Republican Party, you got Mitch McConnell saying the president was wrong, and you got Mitch McConnell saying we got to get away from Donald Trump. But then you got the minority leader in the House who assigns the lady who's a Cunanan's on the head of or on his committee for education.
She got stripped.
Well, I understand she got stripped by the Democrats. She got stripped by the Democrats. But so what you're seeing is somebody in the Republican Party is going to have to step up and be able to control the Trumpsters if they can to keep that party together. Otherwise, I think it's going to be even more split in the next few years.
Bad. It's going to be bad. It really is. So we will wrap this up. You guys, don't forget, please make sure that you check us out wherever you check out your podcasts. We want to hear from you. Look at us on Facebook. Check us out at Twitter, at Legal Dispute. I just started tweeting this week. I'm very excited.
So is the world.
I saw the big deal.
I
tweeted once. So anyway.
It shook the world, though, Paul.
Please,
I'm telling you.
Please make sure that you guys check us out. We will come back soon. But with that, we are out.